Anyone else would like to speak on PCO 4-22? Anyone else? Okay, we're looking for a motion to close the public hearing, then we'll go back into comments from members of the council. Councilman Foley? Second by Councilman Lattiser. All in favor to close the public hearing, say aye.
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 Thank you. All right, so now we're back in the full council meeting. Before I go back to the sponsors, I just want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. I thought that was an excellent public hearing. Everyone was very respectful, great examples coming up and explaining your situation. It's just very impressive this evening. And a couple of people said that they're not great public speakers. Everyone that got up there was excellent, so I was very impressed. So. The two sponsors, I'm going to ask if they would like to speak first. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. And also thank you to everyone that came here and spoke this evening, both in favor and in opposition or neutral. So, it's on. So, we've heard a lot of testimony this evening. And the majority of the testimony has focused around owner-occupied. It's talked about a lot of things. So I'm going to set the owner-occupied aside for a moment because we do need some time to consider all of the concerns and comments that were made. However, make no bones about it. This is a business. And businesses are regulated. They are controlled. They have requirements. And because I buy a business doesn't mean I can do whatever I please. There are rules and regulations. There are zoning regulations. Et cetera, et cetera. All of these things apply. You can buy your own personal residence and you can't just build a shed where you please and put it where you please because there's rules and regulations in place. So this is about business. And I know a little bit about business. I've been in business for over 40 years. The concerns that have been portrayed to me this evening are some that I haven't even considered, to be honest with you. One of the comments was that Airbnb security has all these regulations in place. They require IDs, they require documentations, et cetera, et cetera. That's Airbnb. I don't know, because no one has said anything here this evening, whether or not owner-occupied or non-owner-occupied see the copies of those IDs, particularly if it's non-owner-occupied. If you're living in Boston or you're living in Connecticut or you're living in Smithfield or wherever you happen to be living other than that house, do you, as the owner of that business, require the same IDs, the same documentation, the same proofs that Airbnb has? Just because I submit these documents to Airbnb through whatever mechanism I do, that doesn't mean I'm showing up at that house. How do you know if I'm the one that sent in those documents? We spoke, or I should say people spoke about have to tear up your yard for parking. That's part of doing business. If you open up an office, a beauty salon, a doctor's office, a dentist's office, a construction company, you have to have a certain amount of parking spaces. So if you want to be in the business world, you have to apply by the same rules and regulations as everyone else in business does. And one of those happens to be certain amount of required parking. Another is certain amount of occupancy in that particular house. We heard from folks tonight that we take care of our properties because we have contractors come in and do repairs, because we have electricians and plumbers do repairs. I didn't hear anyone say that they get proof that these contractors are licensed or insured. And all of you on the city council, you all know I'm very familiar with that because I was the vice chair slash chair of the Contractors Registration Board for 24 years. So I know many of the contractors that are out there that were registered, were revoked, were suspended, were re-registered again for a whole host of issues. The average homeowner, property owner, oftentimes don't realize they need to have licensed, registered, insured contractors. They don't ask for certificates of insurance. They don't take out permits. Contractors can say they're a contractor and go take care of whatever problems occur on owner or non-owner occupied properties or their own properties. Doesn't mean that they're registered or insured. Insured doesn't mean that they're getting building permits. And if you doubt me, we got the building official sitting right there who'd be more than happy to comment on that, I'm sure. So the issue here is much deeper than what one would assume. We've also heard that I hire a local girl to come in and clean the properties after someone leaves. I didn't just throw out that term, that's what was testified. This brings in another question. The people that are being hired to do the landscaping, to do the cleaning, to do these repairs, particularly the cleaning. Who's paying the taxes? Who's paying the workers' comp? If you hire someone in the state of Rhode Island, if you hire someone in the state of Rhode Island, you are required under the state law to provide workers' compensation for that employee. If they are not an employee, then they're a subcontractor. And if they're a subcontractor, they're required to be registered with the Department of Labor and Training. They're required to have liability insurance. It is about business. Trash disposal. If you are a business entity in the city of Warwick, the city of Warwick doesn't come in and pick up your recyclables and pick up your trash. You have to have your own dumpster for your trash and for your recyclables, etc. Short-term rentals are a business. And currently, the taxpayers in the city of Warwick, the folks that live in the city of Warwick and are paying the taxes, are also paying for the costs of providing those services to the local businesses, which is picking up your recyclables, picking up your trash. I'm not anti-short-term rentals. And everyone in this, let me back up, everyone on the city council knows I have always been a very pro-business elected official. I've been a pro-housing elected official. We heard testimony that there are 76 short-term rentals that we know of in the city of Warwick. That's 76 homes that cannot be occupied by individual families. We know we have a housing crisis. So you can't have this both ways. If you're going to be in business, then you need to play by the rules that everyone else plays by. We have issues with sidewalks. That comes up all the time. Sidewalks. I want sidewalks. I want a sidewalk. But then when you get them, nobody wants to shovel them. So if you are running a short-term rental, you are running a business, and you have a sidewalk in front of your property, who's shoveling it? I hear everyone's comments about owner-occupied and their concerns about owner-occupied. We've heard some alternatives to staying strictly owner-occupied. My feeling this evening is to take all of these comments that have been made this evening, pro, con, or just a neutral comment. I would like to have an opportunity to revisit and do more in-depth looks at this legislation. Not just from the owner-occupied perspective, but from the other things that were mentioned this evening that I hadn't considered. So, Mr. President, I will yield the floor to any of my colleagues who would like to speak, but my intent is, once my colleagues have had that opportunity, and given the extensive discussions that we've had this evening, all very good discussions, my intent is to make a motion to hold this until the second meeting in December to give us more opportunity to disseminate everything that has been discussed this evening, to revisit the owner-occupied language. We may decide to keep it all together, may decide to amend it, may decide to pull it out. But I think we owe it to ourselves and we owe it to the community that sat here for 3 hours this evening to get their opinions heard. And for those reasons, that would be my intent. But I'll yield to the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Look at that. Timing. Perfect timing.
I beat you.
Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you. Don't mind me. I got a little scratchy throat. I also want to thank everyone who came out and spoke. And I thank council, too, for listening to you. And I understand everything you're saying, but I see it both ways, too. And like saying we work together, I think that's a good idea. But I do also have to say I listen to Councilman Ladislaw about businesses. I think about the hotels and people that are not going to the hotels because they're going to the Airbnb because it's probably nicer and comfortable for them, and I agree with that. But the council people know that the hotels gives us hotel tax money, which we use for our nonprofit stuff. And so there's a good and there's a bad part of that. But I think we should revisit it. I think some good points were brought up about the things that have been done, especially the screening. But, you know, you're here because you don't want us to do some of this. We got phone calls from people that are against it. And they're telling us different stories, but they don't want to be here because they don't want to talk and have someone say, oh, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. But they're questioning and arguing about some things, but it's only fair that we listen to everybody. But I also will agree, I'll second that, but I don't know if anybody else wants to talk, but thank you. And thank everyone for coming out.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Councilman Sinapi.
So I'm glad we are going to hold it because there are a lot of issues, some of which are not nice and clean or easy by any means, especially the owner-occupied scenario. Although a few people who testified mentioned the concept of like a nearby landlord or a nearby resident landlord, which I like the idea of, and I see other communities having done it. But it is important to note that we do get calls from others. I've lost track of the number of constituents that have called or emailed in the past year or two in particular, who have been pushed out or being pushed out of their rentals because they no longer can afford it as the prices go up. And that's a difficult conversation because they don't know why you can't help and they don't know who can. And when you then have houses that are being used solely for short-term rentals, and you know that these people elsewhere exist where they now are basically being made homeless because they can't occupy residents due to just whether it be prices have gone up or the shortage, it is difficult. That being said, there's no doubt that the short-term rentals have benefits like the revitalization of derelict properties. That's huge to go from either an empty lot or just a dilapidated house to just something like brand new. That's phenomenal for everybody. So there's definitely two sides to it. And I think, I don't think banning short-term rentals is a solution. And it seems pretty clear based on everyone that's testified that owner-occupied or something so stringent as just owner-occupied doesn't necessarily make sense. But it also doesn't make sense to let it run willy-nilly and hurt the community as a whole, especially those who can't otherwise afford things. And I know that's a distant reality for many of us here, especially you all, I imagine. But unfortunately, it is the reality for some. And we just want to make sure we can kind of thread the needle as best we can. And thank you for the testimony because it was very helpful for me. I don't own rental property. I'm clueless other than what you have told me and what I can research online. So I appreciate it.
We're going right down the line here. Councilman,
yeah, sure. Thank you. Thank you. A big thank you to everyone who came out and provided testimony tonight. I think, while short-term rentals and the platforms that support them have been out for a number of years, not everyone has experience with them. So part of this is an educational process to help folks understand. We tend to only get the calls when there's a problematic short-term rental. For anyone who may have experienced an issue, I know none of you have, but others have. And I know that I had some constituents who are here who have gone down the short-term rental and did have an issue. And you may be familiar that the current zoning in the city outlaws all short-term rentals. And so if you do have an issue, you will undoubtedly receive a cease and desist from the building department, which shuts down your opportunity to continue that. So just by the essence of you not having received that is good evidence that you're all currently doing a good job. I support what many of my colleagues said here tonight and that and what many of you said, which is that it's good that we are opening up this conversation. I know that with a proposal on the table, it causes stress to folks who have investments who don't know what the outcome is going to be. But I think this is the beginning of the conversation. I think your input tonight goes a long way to helping us, as a body, form our opinions. Something that comes up often is, we aren't because we are part of a body, we are not able to go have a meeting among the nine of us and talk about this and pass ideas back and forth, right? We have to do this in an open forum. So this is really the first time that the nine of us have had this conversation and have had the opportunity to hear both the pros and the cons from the public in this kind of forum. So I look at this as step one, and I think there's a lot of room for improvement over the current state, which is not allowed at all, over the current proposal, which is just owner-occupied, And the, you know, what the future holds is kind of a matter of the input that we get, how creative we want to be, how we work with the planning department and with the other council people here. And I think that in the end, we can come up with something that works for the community, that works for property owners, that works for your neighbors. And that to the point that many of you raised, you know, that opens up Warwick's communities for family members, for guests, for people who are considering moving to the city to have the opportunity to come and stay and enjoy and participate in our economy. So I look forward to, you know, if this is held, I look forward to working on it in between, and look forward to coming up with something that works for as many of our interested parties as we can. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I will keep this short. I appreciate Councilman Lattiser stating that he's going to hold this for further review, because as written now, hearing the testimony, I couldn't support it. However, if there's one thing that, you know, I took out of this, is that people want to be part of the conversation. And I agree with what Councilman Gebhardt said. The conversation has started, so I appreciate that. The two big challenges I got from all the discussion and the statements was, and especially from our own research. So I'll state a few things on the record, and I promise I'll be less than 2 minutes, and something I hope that the rest of us, knowing that it's going to be held, is my research, speaking to the chief of police, there's in his records, that's right, we also got an email from it. He has only 17 known Airbnbs, short-term rentals, in the city. The statement was, there was a statement made this evening that there were 72. So if we get anything out of this that could be amended to it, would be a city registry. We have to have an idea. And the second thing is, and this guy goes on what Councilman Lattiser said, we have to move into a 21st century. Granted, it's a business, but it's a 21st century business. So with the registry, I think we can address some of the issues that we have. Obviously, moving forward, we can really hone in on some of the things that were brought up, the concerns. So with that said, I'm going to withhold any other comments I may have for the future. But those are the two main things I'm going to look at. And I just like to end it by saying, I, for one, heard of Airbnb. I never paid attention to Airbnb. I've never stayed at an Airbnb. I never thought to look up Airbnb. Boy, I got some homework to do. So that's where I'm going next. I thank you all for coming in, the pros and the cons. And I had no idea that there were so many in the city, and I'm looking forward to learning about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Council President, fellow members of the City Council, and thank you to all the members of the public who came out, testified, and are otherwise staying here past 10 o'clock at night. So I'm usually the one, or one of the ones, on the City Council who is reminding members of the public that we in this United States of America have a document called the Constitution, and that Constitution provides for life, liberty, and property. So this is a little bit off the beaten path for me, because as I often look at zoning ordinances and zoning regulations, I often see those as, what are we doing here? This is too restrictive. Why is it that I own a piece of property, let's say hypothetically a piece of property, there's no house on it, it completely complies with the current zoning, except I want to build a duplex on that property. Well, if I want to build a duplex, even if all the dimensions conform, so on and so forth, even if it's in a neighborhood with plenty of duplexes in it, I have to go and get a variance or a special use permit or the like just to build a duplex on my own property. So I think that sometimes zoning ordinances can go a little bit too far. In this instance, I really do think that we need to do something through the zoning ordinance so that we strike a balance between those who are running a business in a neighborhood and protecting the interests of their neighbors. So a lot of the time, everything can go very smoothly. I imagine that we have a lot of people who have 4.9 plus stars, 5.0 stars or close to it, super hosts. Sounds like everything is going very smoothly. On the other hand, what we don't hear about is necessarily some of these different instances where things are going badly. And when it's not someone or in a situation where it's owner-occupied, it does take on that bit of a flavor of being more of a commercial business. And here we are then with a business on a piece of property that is zoned residential. A little bit contrary to the zoning laws right there. And I can point to a number of different examples I've run across over the years where in my neighborhood, in my ward, I have neighbors coming to me and letting me know, hey, we've got someone who's basically running a mechanics shop out of their house, out of their own home garage. We've got somebody running a landscaping operation out of their house. Every morning, 6 a.m., you have a half dozen people driving up. They leave their cars in the neighborhood, and then they pile into a truck, and they all head out from that house. Or you have people working on cars, not their own cars, customers' cars, in their own driveway. Well, in Warwick, you can't do that. And that sort of thing, it does become a nuisance to the neighbors. And so we've had to handle those situations. Now, another situation, not involving Airbnb, but homes for sober living, without getting into all the gory details and naming names from a situation that happened 10 years ago, I'm just giving a situation where capitalism doesn't necessarily solve its own problems in a way that's acceptable for a neighborhood. So there was I'm going to call it a business model, even though this involved a nonprofit. It involved an organization, registered nonprofit, bought four houses in the neighborhood I grew up in, neighborhood I live in and represent now. And the business model was basically, let's put two adults per bedroom into each of the bedrooms of each of these houses. We're conforming with all of the ordinances and restrictions, and we can't be discriminated against because we're helping people who are recovering and therefore protected by the ADA. So it was in complete conformance with zoning and the like, to the extent that they were able to get reasonable accommodations that had to be granted under the ADA. Well, it ended up working out in a certain way that business model wasn't there for very long, but along the way, that nonprofit only stopped its operations in the neighborhood and sold those four houses it bought up because neighbors had to keep complaining about syringes being found around the properties. Neighbors were finding people and having to call the police because they were finding people who were blacked out on lawns.
Councilman, we got to keep it just sure. On this PCO.
And finally, one of the houses caught fire. So then that irresponsible business owner decided to cut their losses and sell the properties. So what I'm getting at is that, you know, maybe sometimes it's good to have a permitting process in place before the bad things happen, instead of waiting until the bad things happen. And then the responsible business owners are able to have that permit. And by having a permit, that's also going to help to stop those irresponsible business owners from trying to come on in, and undercut and allow all of these bad things to happen to the neighborhood, that gives the good business owners a bad name. And, excuse me, I welcome a further conversation. I think that we can improve this in many ways. And I think that with these conversations, we're going to be able to craft something that works for everyone. And by the way, the current proposal, it would not be an absolute bar for non-owner occupied. Instead, it would require a special use permit. So it's not an absolute bar, but I would certainly be open-minded to considering perhaps a different set of requirements for non-owner occupied that at the same time may not necessarily require the special process of a special use permit. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. Again, thank you to all the people who came out tonight. Unlike Councilman Howell, I have experience with Airbnbs. I've traveled and I use them extensively. They are a home away from home. And I've been in owner-occupied and non-owner-occupied. And I've had nothing but good experiences. That being said, one of the constituent of mine who owns Airbnbs in my ward gave me a copy of Middletown's regulations that I would like to share with the council president and then the other members. I'm sure the sponsors of this bill have looked into, but since I have a hard copy here with me, I'd like to share that before the end of the night. And I agree with Councilman Lattiser that further study needs to be done on this. It's a great first step. And again, I said this about a year and a half ago with the solar ordinance. To me, this is what good government is. An open forum, we exchange ideas, and we come to some type of consensus that moves this forward. Thank you for your time tonight. I appreciate you all.
Thank you, Councilman. Any additional questions for members of the council? Councilman Lannis, do you have a motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Before I make the motion, I do want to point out that there already is a registry requirement in this particular ordinance that we're looking at. There's filing date requirements, there's permit registrations, there's those things that are already in there. My takeaway this evening is the major concern is owner occupied. And I thank everyone for bringing all of your comments out and for presenting all the reasons why you feel owner occupied is too stringent. And I'm more than happy to delve into this a little bit deeper and work with my colleagues and come up with something that kind of meets everybody halfway. With that said, Mr. President, I'd make a motion that we hold this item PC04-22 till the second meeting in December.
Second by Councilman Travis, Councilman Gephardt, Councilman Snappy, Councilman Foley, Councilman Ricks. Any questions on this?
Yeah, I'd just like to make a suggestion on the hold date, just given that the second meeting in December is a couple days before Christmas. Would you consider holding it into January?
We have a solicitor can comment on that.
I had considered it.
So as we're amending the zoning ordinance, there are certain state protocols that have to follow within the timeline of the public hearing. So we have a window of time to get this done, make any amendments, or restart the entire process again. So if it goes beyond 45 days from the public hearing, we would have to restart the whole process again. So if we wanted to attempt making amendments and seeing if we can conclude within that timeline, I would recommend holding it. If it's something that we don't want to try and fix within the short run, the time will lapse and we'll be starting over.
So So the option would be, could hold it for the December meeting, and then if we're not ready to move it forward, we could withdraw it at that time.
Holding to a subsequent meeting within the 45-day timeline gives this body the option to conclude to some decision. So that's the decision you need to make on the timing of the hold.
So there's been a motion and a second. Any other questions on the amendment to hold? So again, this would be to hold to the second meeting in December.
Correct.
And then at that time, if we're not ready to move forward, we have to take some additional actions. But this will just keep the process moving forward at this time, and we'll see where we're at in a month. All set? No, I'm sorry, sir. The clerk will call the roll to hold until the second meeting in December.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to hold till 12/19.
Okay, the motion is to hold till 12/19. Thank you. At this time, I will ask if we can have a 5-minute recess. Councilman Howe, will you make that motion?
Favorable action on the motion for 5-minute recess.
Second by Councilman Foley. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're in recess. Thank you. Excuse me. We still have a number of things to address for the council meeting, so we're going to restart the council meeting at this time. Okay, thank you. So we are now back in the full council meeting. So we have done roll call. We've done the salute to the flag. We've done general communications. We heard from our special guests from the Warwick Neck PTA. We did executive communications. We're now moving on to A, the acceptance from the minutes of the council meeting held on. There are not there. Okay, so we are now moving to public comment, rule 41. And there's a sign-up sheet if anyone else would like to sign up at this time.
There's no minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Rule 41. After general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at each city council public hearing meeting, there should be a 15-minute period during which citizens may comment about the Warwick city government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall be 15 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of 15 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous consent. So looking at the sign-up sheet here, we have 8 individuals that signed up. The first individual, Michelle.
There you go.
Thank you. Good evening.
Excuse me, I apologize. So we have 8 people that have signed up. I just want to confirm that all 8 are still here. We have an individual, Michelle, Cindy, Scott, Nadi, I'm sorry, I can't read everyone's handwriting. Nadine, Bill, Angela, looks like Karen.
Scott's here.
So we have 4. So it looks like we still have 4 individuals here. So we just want to make sure you get enough time. So that's why we're doing that. So if the clerk's ready, we can. Michelle, go right ahead.
Great. Thank you. Good evening. My name is Michelle Diaz. I live at 23 Saratoga Road in Ward 6. And I am here speaking on behalf of my neighbors, many of whom are here with me tonight. To respectfully request a revisit of the ordinance 0-2214 regarding parking near the CRMC rights of way, specifically related to signage being installed in front of our residences. We're here tonight requesting this revisit because the first we learned of it was in the Providence Journal news article on Friday, the 11th of November. As residents, we did not have an opportunity like our neighbors did here this evening to voice our concerns to all of you when this was presented, and we are looking for that opportunity as citizens who will be most directly impacted. We have very serious concerns related to safety for ourselves, our children, in our neighborhood, and the impact that these parking signage may do to the property value of our home. So again, we are hoping to have that opportunity to come before you to get more information. Supposedly there was a traffic study done. Was there a safety study done? Was there a property value study done? These are things that we're looking to get more information on and would respectfully request that opportunity to have that ordinance revisited. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to add, my name is Roberto Diaz. I'm her husband. I just want to add that the house mentioned is 35 Sylvia. That those two, they're asking for two parking spaces there. They're right in front of the door. And if you wanted to put it in front of somebody else's house along that street or down Saratoga, it's going to be right in front of that, feet from the people's door. I have a solution. In front of 213 Claypool, there's a right across the street from the house. There's woods. People have parked there long before I lived there to go down to the right of way. There's ample parking spots there. I'm asking them to revisit it, take a look at that. It's an alternative. It's just around the corner. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Scott Brown, and I live at 35 Sylvia Drive, and like my neighbors, I'm just requesting that we revisit the ordinance that's been, I guess, approved or maybe proposed, but I live at 35 Sylvia, which is apparently where it's been approved to put the two parking spots. As my neighbor just described, it would literally be right outside either my daughter's bedroom window or our backyard. So as we're out back just having random cars coming up and parking, I have a 6-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old daughter. I'm concerned, just with people parking outside of our home that we're not aware of who they are. Like Michelle said, just concerned with safety, with property value. I know it's part of the story that was in the newspaper. The concern was that there were some no parking signs. I've been in the house since 2018, and I did not place any no parking signs. I'm not aware of whoever or why there would be a no parking sign. And an alternative could just be to removing those signs if those aren't legal signs, rather than creating and designating parking spots and then creating additional signage in the neighborhood. It's a dead end street, and would like to revisit that and just be able to have the opportunity to express our concerns and have those be heard. Thank you.
My name is Kevin Lee. I live on Saratoga Road in that area in Buttonwoods. A week ago Sunday, I read the paper and found out they were putting parking in our area. The roads, it's an old beach, old summer community. The houses are very close together. The streets are very narrow. I don't know. We were not notified of any hearings being taken place. There was supposedly a traffic study done. I don't know when that was done. If it was done recently, it's the fall. The time where it's the busiest is the summer. Nobody's been down there doing that. I'm appalled that we find out in the paper what's being done. It seems that if you want something done, you come in, request it here, it's done. those who are affected weren't notified. If I want to build a garage, I have to notify 50, 60 people in my neighborhood. Nobody has to do that for putting parking areas in front of my house. I'm just appalled. I've had people give me the finger when I've asked them not to leave junk on my lawn. That's just what I feel this council has done to the neighborhood, is given us the finger. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
If there's ample time, I just want to add, I went to some of these, I went to six of them, of the they're outlined places for parking. When I went there, I took pictures. These spots that they're going to put in these other locations in the city or in Warwick along the water, they don't sit in front of someone's home. They don't sit in front of somebody's door. And that's what you'll do if you put it in any part of Saratoga or Sylvia. It'll be in front of someone's door. I took pictures, I looked, I observed. It's either along a tree line, it's along a guardrail. I mean, it's apples and oranges. I mean, you're putting it in a place where either the streets are too narrow, or you're going to put it in front of somebody's, right in front of somebody's door, 8 to 10 feet. And that's going to, I don't know how that affects property value, but I imagine it's not going to be good. Just revisit it. 213 Claypool Drive is a curb. You can put four spots there. People can just walk around the corner. It's a resolution. That's what I'm asking. Thank you.
Thank you. We are now moving to number one on the agenda, which is the consent calendar, PCR 137-22. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2023-208, specialist in real estate to prepare and conduct tax sale. Bid 2023-264, purchase 2021 Dennis Eagle rear loader. Bid 2023-256, replace or rebuild boilers in the three city facilities. Bid 2023-257, State of Rhode Island diesel exhausts, fluid, lubricants, oil, greases. Bid 2023-255, ballistic vests. Bid 2023-259, purchase mobile digital radios and accessories. Bid 2023-227, Alpha, pipe fitting and valves. 2023-277, Bravo, pipe fitting and valves. Bid 2023-238, service investigations. Bid 2022-279, emergency equipment repair for police vehicles. Bid 2023-237, live scan maintenance, machine maintenance. Bid 2023-214, fire hose service testing. Bid 2023-261, State of Rhode Island premium diesel exhaust fluid lubricants, oil, and greases. Bid 2023-218, structural firefighting helmets. Bid 2023-230, Milwaukee cordless power tools and accessories. Bid 2023-233, New Year's Eve's fireworks display. Bid 2024-001, Independence Day fireworks display. Bid 2023-232, Gatsby Day fireworks display. Bid 2024-002, National Night Out fireworks display. Bid 2020-162, State of Rhode Island Facilities Maintenance Repair Operation Industrial Supplies. Bid 2023-123, gutter and tube type brooms. Bid 2023-226 Alpha, large diameter clamps, saddles, and couplings. Bid 2023-226 Bravo, large diameter clamps, saddles, and couplings. Bid 2023-262 music performance license. And bid 2023-279 interior materials for Range Road. That concludes the bid package, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. Are there any questions or comments that were not brought up earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? No. Nope. Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, consent passes.
Thank you, consent calendar passage. Councilman Howe, I believe one item has been removed from the consent calendar.
Yes, Mr. President. It was moved for favorable action.
And so that was bid 2023-260, is now PCR 138-2022.
Yes, Mr. President.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
With an amendment.
With an amendment, yes.
Okay. And Councilman Foley is going to second that, and if you could let us know what the amendment is.
Thank you. It was very simple. The department, the police department, requested that it go from a one-year to a two-year bid, and they so it simply doubled the amount. So it's a two-year bid that would expire November 30th, 2024, for a total expenditure authorization of $15,000.
Okay, that is the amendment. Any questions on the amendment? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you. Councilman Howe, would you like to move this as amended?
Move. I apologize. Move as amended.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions on the amendment? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes as amended.
Thank you. Motion passes. Next up on the agenda, we have done number one, which is PCO 24-22. We have also completed PCO 25-22. We've also done PCO 26-2022. And we also had the public hearing on PCO 4-22. So we are now moving to the unfinished portion of the agenda. Number one is PCO 10-21, committee report ordinance. Okay, for action, Councilman Sinapi. Second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilwoman Travis, and Councilman Gephardt. Any question? And Councilman Howe. Any questions on this that were not asked earlier this evening in the ordinance committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action for second passage.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, second passage.
Second passage. And great work on that, Councilman Sinapi. I know that we had to get legislation done at the state to move that forward. So you've been working on this a long time, so congratulations. Next up is PCO 11-21 sub A. This is also for second passage, committee report ordinance.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
Favorable action.
Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments on PCO 11-21 sub A? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action for second passage.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 no, second passage.
Second passage, thank you. Number three this evening is PCO 20-22. This is also for second passage, committee report, land use.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Gephardt. Any questions or comments on PCO 20-22 for second passage? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, second passage.
Second passage. Number four this evening is PCR 115-22, committee report finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments on PCR 115-22? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you. The motion passes. There is no new business this evening, so we're moving to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent?
Pass.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Negative.
Ward 6? Ward 7 passes. Ward 8. Ward 9.
Pass.
Councilwoman Travis.
Session.
All those in favor to move in the docket session say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We are now in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening?
No.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6? Pass. Ward 7, I have one. It's a resolution relative to issuing requests for proposals from the American Rescue Plan Act community projects. And that will be in finance. Ward 8. Ward 9. We are adjourned, and happy Thanksgiving, everyone. See you soon.